listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host of the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We have a very talented choreographer and dancer, Adarsh Satish. How are you, Adarsh?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. You know, what's really funny is my dad's name is Jacob, but his pet name is Satish, and I've never met another Satish. So, dude, so awesome, man. This is going to be cool.
Yeah, my last name is actually my dad's first name, so. That's how we did it. I'm not sure if other people do that, but yeah. My dad's first name is Satish, and my first name is Satish. Everyone gets confused by that, but just the system in South India.
Oh, wait. So where does Adarsh come from? Is that your middle name?
That's my first name.
Okay. All right. So you said your family took your dad's first name as the last name?
Yes.
Oh, that's much. Cool.
Yeah, so my dad's last name is Rachea, which is like super long, which is a lot of South Indian names are super long. So I would have been other Rachea if they did it like the American way, but like they did the South Indian first name becomes last name type thing.
I've never heard of that. That's awesome. Where in the South are you from? Are you from Kerala?
No, my dad's from Bangalore. My mom's from Hyderabad.
That's amazing. I've got family. My mom's brother is in Bangalore, and my family, my dad's side comes from Madras, Hyderabad, Kerala, Kottayam. So yeah, man, South Indians, man, we unite, bro.
Come up.
So let me ask you this. Let's go back to the beginning. How did you know? What was the moment of Zen? How did you know you wanted to be a dancer? What was that moment for you?
I've been dancing. So I started dancing when I was like 14. I was just into Michael Jackson a lot. I was just copying him. I was just like super obsessed. I was dancing in college as well. And I was just doing it cause I love dancing, you know, it's just my passion, you know? And then I decided I stayed back one more year of school because I felt like after my senior year, I wanted to like kind of explore. I feel like I wasn't satisfied with college. So I kind of just took less classes just so I can stay back one extra year. And I rejoined my college dance team. And then I started training in LA a little bit. I wanted to explore, do different things. So when I started training in LA, that's when I was like, yeah, you know what? This is cool. This is enjoyable. I'm meeting people who I've always wanted to meet and like train with and like take classes from. And like, I was getting a lot of like good compliments and respect. And I was taking classes at like these two girls named B-Funk. Like I was taking their classes. And a lot of people were just like hyping me up a lot. So I was just like, you know, this is possible. You know, I think I saw other people doing it, making it like their profession. And I knew like when I was younger, I wanted to do something that was kind of like larger than life. I didn't know what it was, but like I thought dancing was like, yeah, that's the key. You know, I can be, it will make a difference because you don't see a lot of Indian people in the industry and stuff. So I wanted to be like one of those like trailblazers and like just go for it and like make dance my profession. So yeah, and then here we are, pandemic.
That's awesome. And you studied at UC Riverside. I actually performed there a couple times, but it was probably way before your time. What year did you graduate from UCR?
2019.
All right, so I was there, I think, 2007 and 2008. That's when I played UC Riverside.
I was like 10 years or 12 years old at the time.
No excuses, bro. Where were you, man?
And well, I was in the ether in the bay.
And you probably were like, the Edge was like the big dance studio, but it closed down around the pandemic. So did you move up to LA before the pandemic?
I moved up to LA. So I went to school in UC Riverside. So I didn't live in LA, but I was going there back and forth a lot. I lived in LA starting September 2021.
That's when I started. Okay. So the Edge was, I don't know if you ever heard about it, but the Edge was like where a lot of choreographers would either teach classes or they would go and get like workout routines, and yeah. It was like a real big staple. They do like music, video, dance auditions there. And I was so bummed when it closed down, because it's like, you never want to see an institution like that close down in a city yeah. as vibrant as LA, because it's like, you always are like, those things should be around, because, you know, there are so many dancers in the city and you need places that are like central. I know Debbie Allen had a studio for a while. I think that also closed down. I'm not sure if it closed down, but yeah. It's so like, you know, as a dancer, when you're kind of navigating where to go, what are the new hot spots or like new studios for people to kind of like, you know, go take classes, or do you give classes anywhere?
So for the first part, yeah, there's a lot of, I feel like the main studio everyone goes to is Millennium. It's like just the industry. It's like the industry hub spot. Like if
someone's coming in North Hollywood, is that North Hollywood?
Studio City, North Hollywood. Yeah. Like okay. Close by there. That's like the hub spot. Everyone's there to get professional training. You can never go wrong with Millennium. There's great teachers there. My favorite place I like to go to is a Movement Lifestyles in Burbank. I just love the community there. I love the vibes. There's huge diversity of teachers there. And same industry level training, super good. And like even people who like aren't necessarily want to be professional dancers, just want to dance for fun. I think ML has it everything. You know, has a right. really cool vibe. I've always liked ML ever since even I started training in LA. ML has always been the best studio. I've always had a good time going. I never leave class feeling like, oh, you know, I suck, blah, blah, blah. I always feel good afterwards. And there's that. Team Millie is also a great one. A very I see if you want a good video, I think Team Millie is the place, you know, if you really want the dance video at the end. Because like the guy who opened Team Millie, his name's Tim Milgram. He shot all the viral dance videos back in the YouTube days for like Matt Stefanina, Sean Liu, and all those guys. But there's a lot opening up. You know, there's a new studio called, I think, Roots. It's in Pasadena now. There's also smaller ones. There's something called C-Spot in Mid-City. There's just like small, more and more studios are popping up. I feel like because like people's interest in dance has been like heightened a lot, especially since pandemic. Everyone's getting into right. TikTok dances and all that kind of stuff. So because of the heightened interest, there's like more and more people getting into dance. So more and more dance studios opening up. And there's some in like OC as well that are opening up, like Offstage. I know RRB is another one for Bollywood dancers. People go to West Coast Dance, like where B-Funk teaches, up in North Hollywood. So like dance is like vibrant in LA. You know, you can't not if anyone's like, oh, I can't find a dance class, it's like it's all around you. You know, it's impossible right. to miss it. Yeah.
And did you study hip hop? Did you study modern, jazz, tap? Did you focus on hip hop and maybe modern? What did you kind of like, what was your emphasis when you were taking classes?
I was focusing on hip hop a lot because like I thought it was, well, I started hip hop because, well, like in my dance journey, I always like Michael Jackson. He was a popper, like animation, all that kind of stuff. Like that was his dance style. So that's what I copied. Until, you know, and then that started trickling into more hip hop. And then after that, when I started going to the industry is then I was like, oh, I need to learn other stuff. So I started learning like salsa and bachata, and I started taking more jazz classes and like changing it up a lot. But my main focus is like hip hop and like popping. That's like my main forte. Now I'm getting into jazz, but it's like hard because like a lot of those styles, like jazz and or dance art forms, they're like jazz and jazz funk and like ballet, and are they're all taught in studios, and these kids have been like taking that since they were like 2 years old, you know. Wow. So I'm like coming in as like a 25 to like 27 year old right now. And I'm just like, dang, there's a lot to catch up on, you know, like just right. pointing your foot, you know, just simple stuff like that takes years of practice, you know?
So. Yeah. You know, I played the Apollo Theater. I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan as well. And I was actually at Michael Jackson's memorial. I don't know if I ever told you that, but it was kind of like a really kind of powerful feeling, because I didn't put my name into the drawing to go to his memorial. And my friend's mom did, and my friend got tickets, and he was like, yo, I think I'm going to go to this. Do you want to go? And I said, hell yeah. Oh my God. Yes. So yeah. I went and like, I just kind of got this feeling. I'm like, you know what? I got to play the Apollo Theater. I want to play a Michael Jackson tune. So I played Shake Your Body Down to the Ground, which is a Jackson's tune, but it's one of my favorite tunes by Michael. And I actually studied a little bit of movement with Michael Chambers. His name is Turbo in the movie Breakin'. And he told me that he actually, like, Michael Jackson called him and he was like, man, I want to learn how to pop and lock. And so he would give lessons to Michael, and he said Michael never danced in front of him, but he had like, you know, like a video camera, and he would just like watch his moves, and he'd go around him, and he'd be like, okay, cool, cool. When you're doing this, are you thinking this? And he was like, no, this is, and he would show him all the movements from the fingers to like everything with the body, neck, everything. And he would just do like a 360 walk around and watch every part of him. But he said he never danced in front of him because he always wanted to work that out on his own, which I thought is kind of awesome. Like, he never wanted anybody to see him like less than perfect, which is pretty awesome. It just makes it sound even cooler, like, because it's Michael, you know what I mean? Did you see the MJ musical? I think I saw that you saw it, right?
100%. Yeah,
I watched. So good.
Uh-huh.
So I love that Michael's like a big part of your dancing. And like, you know, one thing that I just love about him as an artist is like, he would learn all the choreography of all the backup dancers and then find little moments to kind of do freestyle stuff on his own. When you're doing group, and you've done a lot of cool videos, when you've done a lot of group stuff, do you kind of take that same technique where you learn the whole routine as a group and you find little pockets where you can kind of take little solos?
So, like, I learn from the group and then I just do my own solos. Like, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's always pockets in choreography where you can have little solo, like, little moments and stuff. Yeah, there's always that that's the fun part of choreography. You can just make it your own. That story of Michael, that's such a funny story to me. That's so cool, actually.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
I have to link you to Michael because he was actually in my music video. And, you know, the reason I reached out to him was because of the Apollo. And I was like, hey, man, I want to learn a couple of things from you because I'm going to do this show at the Apollo. And I just want to kind of like do some things that are kind of like in tribute to him. And so we became good friends. And then I was like, yo, I want you to be in this music video. And so I gave him like a little breakdancing solo. And it was so cool because I was like, you're going to play during this solo. And he didn't know what it was going to be. And it ended up being a piano solo because that's what was recorded. And when he came to the video shoot, he was dressed in all black with white. And it looked like he was a piano. So, like, he was doing all this movement during the piano solo. And he looked like a piano. I was like, this is so awesome. And it was just like, we didn't talk about it. He just, like, showed up that way. So, so tell me, like, you know, Michael's influenced by Fred Astaire and some of the other dancers like that. Were you also influenced by them? Are there other dancers or break dancers or hip hop dancers that you were influenced by?
Fred Astaire is like so beyond my time that like getting to know who Fred Astaire was when I was like 14 years old, I didn't even know who that was, you know, when I was 14 years old. It's only now that like, you know, that I'm older that I'm getting more into dance. I know who Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly and Bob Fosse and all of them are. But the other influences on my dance, there's a lot of influences. And I feel like I'm always inspired by people here and there, depending on the time of my life, especially friends and people I'm around. Like, I think Michael Jackson's always like the root, you know, it's like whoever has styles that are connected. Like, I really like dancers who are just as smooth, just as sharp, just as clean and precise. Like, I always like that movement. So like competition dances, like some teams, like my old dance team, they were very much about being like very sharp and precise and quick and like all that kind of stuff. And there's us, it's like, I like Jabberwockies a lot because they have that type of movement where it's like, it's all about illusion. And MJ had that like in the Smooth Criminal with the lean and like, all the sidewalks, the moonwalks, is like all those illusion factors. It's all popping. I love popping because it was like illusion, like it's just kind of eye-catchy. And the Jabberwockies, like Kinjas and all those people, like, and people who dance like that too, they were my inspirations to that. But like it all roots back to Michael Jackson, honestly,
right?
I like dancers who have that, there's a certain finesse, you know, like dancers who can just make things look easy, like, You know what I'm saying? It's like they're not even trying. They're just being themselves.
I just saw the Jabberwockies open for Joe Coy at the Forum, which was really cool. But, man, they were doing a lot of stuff that was very Michael-esque. And, you know, I feel like he's, like, forever going to be, like, a huge influence on dancers. And it doesn't matter. It's kind of cool to see generations later that people are still influenced by him because he was the best. You know what I mean? Like, there was something about his movements. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the rehearsals of the Bad Tour, but it's I think it's him and the choreographer and another dancer, and they're just going through all the routines of all of it, and you just see where he's like figuring out, like he knows all the routines so much that he knows exactly where he does these breaks, and they're so precise, and he's right back in with the groove. It's so awesome. It's like that level of timing and precision, and just like the, you know, the way that he just kind of attacked and approached all of it. I'm friends with a couple guys that were in his band and in his tour, and his one of his guitarists that played with him on the Thriller tour, he said that Michael always wanted to punch the audience in the face with how good the band and the performance was from the first number. So he said, he said, like, the band, we all just had this energy when we started, like, we're about to punch the audience in the mouth, you know, just to, like, shock them. And they did it every time. They did it every night. And I asked a couple friends of mine that were backup singers for him. I'm like, what were the craziest, like, Michael moments you had? And he said, the craziest part of it was, like, you never saw him not do something that astounded you. You know what I mean? Like, every night there was something that he did that nobody had seen or that he was just, like, pulling out. And it's just crazy that he had that level of, like, attention to detail. So I love that he's a major influence on you. Let's play one of your videos because your videos are awesome. We're going to play one called Kabi Kabi Aditi. Just give us a little backstory about this video.
So I made this video right before I was going to leave the Bay Area to L.A. And in the song, he's just saying, like, cheer up, you know. It's from the movie Kabi Kabi Aditi. And that's not the name of the song, but name of the movie. But the name of the song is Kabi Kabi Aditi. And he's just telling this girl to cheer up. And my ex-girlfriend at the time, it was just like, cheer up, you know, kind of thing. So that's why I kind of made the dance. I taught my last workshop in the Bay to that song. So yeah, this one's a little special one. It's just like a transition period in my time, in my life.
All right, let's check it out. Here's Adar Satish with Kabi Kabi Aditi. कभी कभी आदती जिंदगी में यूं ही कोई अपना लगता है कभी कभी आदती वो बिछड़ जाए तो इल्ज़ाम ना लगता है हे आदती हंसते 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 जो जरा नहीं तो बस थोड़ा 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 मुस्कुरा So cool, man. So tell me, like, how long did it take to choreograph that? How long did it take to film that? Tell me what that was like.
It took me so long to choreograph that. I don't know why. I think I get so much in my head about, like, what the move is. I started that in March and didn't finish it till, like, October of, like, 2021. And I'm just in my head a lot about it. But, like, when you just let go, I think one thing is, like, you're so inspired by MJ and all this, these perfectionists that you want to be a perfectionist. Like, oh, that move just doesn't feel right. And like, you just keep like, oh, not that one, not that one, not that one. I think as I get older and more, I do art stuff. It's like, you got to enjoy the process a little bit more.
Yes.
And
just kind of
like, yo, like it's not working, but try it, you know, just fail, you know, just like even if I look at this choreography, I would change like 100 things about it, but it's like, it's good. It's a moment, you know? So I just like, just do what comes naturally and just do it, you know? Don't feel like you have to copy, like, or be just as good as, like, the greats right away because you're on your journey, you know? And your journey's not the same as, like, MJ's or whoever, Beyonce, whoever, you know? They have probably have to go through their own hurdles to get to where they are. They're just not, like you said, they're not recorded, you know, so they only, you only see the perfect picture. So, we live in a different time in social media where they're, showing content is a part, is a part of the game, you know?
Yes.
So, I want to, I, when I made that piece, I was just like, dude, it's not about being perfectionist. And if anything, you can go back and like change up things and make it different. So I finally finished it in September because like my workshop was coming up and I wanted to shoot this really badly. And those two of those guys in that video, they're both of my teammates. We shot that really quick, like an hour, just because they're amazing.
Wow. That's amazing. That's crazy. Boom. 1 hour to shoot the whole thing?
Yeah, it was like easy because they're good. They're just like boom, clean. Like that's how we're trained. Like on our dance team up in the Bay, like that's how we just are. Like this is the move. This is where it's at, and like be as clean as possible. Match me as much as possible, which is a testament to their training, right? So like they just get it. And when you work with people who just get it, then man, you can make a bajillion, a ton of things. You know, it's just
right.
1 hour, bang! Like we just did like 3 locations in 1 hour because they just got it within like 3 takes. I'm like boom, easy, got it done. Posted it 2 days later, boom. Marketed it okay, people came up to my class easy. Like when you have that type, when you work with such amazing people, it's like the content, the art, it just flows naturally. And yeah, even like that piece, man, like it's funny, I have a friend up in the Bay, his name is Francis Tyrell. I love Francis to death. He's like a huge like mentor in my life. He's my captain of my dance team. I wanted the piece a certain way, like this idea in my head. But he like came in and he like changed it up because he's like, yo, that doesn't fit that well. Try this. And he showed it to me like a way I can texturize. I'm sure it's the same thing with music and all other things where if you just change up your flow a little bit or change up the way you hit things at different moments and pockets and like find different patterns, that it fits better. You know, it flows better. You know, it matches the words that you feel it more. And he came in and he took the first 4 moves and he changed it. Why don't you try this texture? Did it? Like, that's it. That's the flow of it. And then bang.
Wow.
And yeah. So it's like seeing a master at work, you know, like if you're producing a song and like maybe like a Kanye or Jay-Z comes in, it's like, wow, try it like this. And they just do it. And like, wow, I would have never thought of it that way.
I think it's so important you have to bounce ideas off people and you have to bounce them in a way that like, You trust the idea will be executed, and you also trust that it will. You know, you can have somebody that you trust in the process to give you feedback that understands what you're going for, because that's huge. I mean, people don't realize how much of that collaboration, or even just like bouncing an idea off somebody, is so invaluable when you're creating something, because it's like your outside voice, it's like your outside eyes and ears. Is giving you a little bit of like, okay, trust this instinct, or maybe we should change this to simplify it so that the, you know, execution is tighter. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's so important. That's awesome that you have that. And when you're thinking about choreography, are you thinking about like telling us, you're obviously telling a story with your body and your hands and your shoulders and your eyes. But when you're thinking about moves, do you have like sequences of moves that you know you're going to go to certain things? Or do you just like feel something and know that visually it's going to work because it's telling a story with the movement?
Yeah. So that's funny. I actually talked about this earlier with another dance friend. And I usually go story first, then moves. It's that I don't see it the other way around, where it's like the movement creates a story. You sure you can do it that way, but it's just like, I feel like I need the bass, you know, like even in music, there's a metronome, right? That's the heartbeat, you know, that like, we need that heartbeat. Why am I dancing right now? You know,
right.
Like, what's the purpose? What is the driving force? Why are you making a song? Why are you here? Once you establish that setting, the moves just come naturally. Like who am I in this dance piece? You know, like for that piece, the meaning of it's like, this person's trying to cheer someone up. So what dance moves would mimic that, feeling, right? If the feeling is the number one thing, like even Michael Jackson will say it is like the music writes itself, you know, the feeling has to be first, you know, like he lets things simmer and has to like the audience should just feel it inside, because it's not about the movement. it's not about the lyrics. It's not about the dance moves. It's about the feeling, you know? That's what people connect to, the feeling, the character. So once you have that character established, the moves almost like write itself, you know? You don't have to think so hard, you know? It's right. Like literally just natural. Like if I know Adar Satish, he's a Indian guy from the Bay Area. He loves basketball, plays video games, and that's his character, you know? And then I just make like dance moves, like if I'm just playing video games, whatever, or I'm like waving, whatever, I'm playing basketball. Like let's say the piece is about basketball, then I can do moves that are resembling basketball, you know, because the story is already there. Same thing with music, same thing with making a movie. Once you have the character, everything just writes itself. You don't even have to think about it because it's just right there. So that's how I kind of approach the dance.
I love that. I love that. I love that your story, like great artists are thinking story first. So that's really awesome. I think the same thing when I'm writing songs. Are there any music videos that when you watch, you're like, this is an extraordinary music video? I mean, Chris Brown is kind of like an amazing dancer, Timberlake, obviously. But what's a music video? Because like when I think about it, it's like Michael Jackson's music videos were like, I mean, I remember, and this is crazy. So like, I remember watching the moonwalk live as a kid when it happened. And what's really crazy is I think about 10 years later, I actually performed on that stage that Michael Jackson did the moonwalk. It's at Ambassador Auditorium in Pasadena. And like, I just remember the thrill of seeing somebody dance like that. And then his music videos, like Thriller. I mean, it's still one of the greatest dance music videos. What do you think is that equivalent or something close to that now?
Nothing. Dude.
Good answer. Well, because I always look for that. I mean, I've seen some things, but nothing comes close to what Michael did. So I was just curious as a dancer if you see music videos that are like that, because I haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, so for that time period, Thriller's like mind-bending. Like that's a crazy music video. Like no one makes music videos that are 13 minutes long. And you couldn't make music videos 13 minutes long unless you're a big name, you know? You can make that. But Thriller's like the perfect music video. There's not a nanosecond of Thriller that's bad. There's like nothing. I'm not even trying to be biased. Like this music video is just like perfect from top to bottom. Like everything is just placed where it needs to be, you know? And that's it just fits the character he plays, the humor in it. It's like, it's fun. It's horrifying. It's thrilling, you know? And it's just a ride, you know? I love Thriller for that reason. It's the music video that inspired me to dance, because I watched Thriller before MJ died. And I was like, dude, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. I wish and of course I'm like very young. I don't know like how to scour through YouTube to find these more MJ stuff. It's when he passed away that I saw Smooth Criminal, They Don't Care About Us, Bad.
Right.
I'm like, dude, this guy doesn't make music videos. He makes short films, you know? Yes. That's awesome, because like a lot of music videos nowadays is like, okay, guy, girl, fall in love, blah, blah, blah. There's no energy to it. And but these music videos, there's an energy, you know? There's like, they're not just music videos. They're, they're like cultural shifters, because the Thriller jacket is like so iconic. The Billie Jean jacket's so iconic. That's how a music video should be, where it's like that is that person's brand. That's his like his demeanor. That's like, it just creates this radness. Like everybody wants to see Thriller. It creates the dances and all that kind of stuff. Now everyone copies that, you know. Everyone wants to follow the Thriller theme. But the thing is, you can't, because that was good for the 80s. Now in today's era, like it's a lot different, where people are doing more special effects, CGI, and that's really cool, honestly. Like my favorite music video director right now is Dave Myers. Dave Myers, if anybody doesn't know, is like, he did like Ariana Grande's God is a Woman. He did Camila Cabello's Havana. He did Doja Cat and Sweetie, or her best friend video. Very like visually compelling storyteller. And he's great. Like I love Dave Myers. Like my two favorite music video directors are MJ and Dave Myers. He did Kendrick Lamar's Humble. If anyone's seen that music video, an awesome music video. It's just visuals on visuals on visuals. So it's not so much like the dancing's like telling the story. It's like the visuals are just wild. Like, you know, it's like very, it tells a story just by the picture. The cinematography goes crazy. So if there's anybody who's kind of close to MJ, I would say Dave Myers. Like he's dope.
That's awesome. Well, let's check out your second video. This is Cher Cool. Is it Gaye or Gay?
Gaye.
So tell me a little bit about the story about this dance music video.
So this dance music video is actually just like based on the movie. So like Hrithik Roshan, this movie is like a cool guy, you know? So like he's just, if you've seen Bollywood films, whenever there's songs like this in the Bollywood film, the guy is just like showing off. Oh, I'm cool. I'm like, you know, and he's just saying he's like a lion. He's cool. Like he's like, if you listen, hear the lyrics in the song, he's talking about, oh, we're up all night drinking, all this kind of stuff. So I'm just, the character for this is like, I'm Hrithik Roshan. I'm cool. You know, everybody wants me, you know? So that's the message I'm trying to send to the audience.
That's awesome. Well, let's check it out. Here's Cher Cool Gaye. Mm-hmm. So cool, man. You always like a lot of these music videos, you have three dancers. Tell me why you like to work in a group of three.
It's not typical. It's just like scheduling, honestly, man. It's hard to get groups of people together. Honestly, like if I could get 40 people in a room, I could, you know, but three people, I feel like with three people, it's easy to like look at everyone's facials and reactions. You know, if there's like 5 or 6 or 10, it's a little bit harder, unless I'm only looking at the center person. Usually with three people, everyone has their moment to shine, you know, moment to like for someone to look at and be like, oh, okay, I really like that dancer. You know, everyone should feel like their own character, you know?
Right.
Like I might be Hrithik, and this guy might be, like, playing Shah Rukh Khan, and this guy's playing, like, Varun Dhawan, you know? It's like a little trio, a little posse. It should feel like a group, you know? That's why I do three.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's visually, like, it's captivating, even just – and it's also tight. I was wondering, is because with more people, you add the variable of it not being executed as tight. But three, yeah. It's like it's pretty dialed in because you're all kind of like marking each other. It seems like three is a good number. Now, let's say if there were seven people, would that make it harder to get all the takes just because there's more variables? I assume yes, right?
Yeah, 100%. So we'd have to probably make it wider, the camera, make it wider, different formations for sure, a little more traffic. I'd for sure have to play with formations. Like some people might be moving this way. Well, this is happening this way. Like it would be kind of a boring shot if everyone's doing the same choreography, you know?
Right.
It's like we gotta add more dimension now. And we have more, it actually would be cooler because now that there's more people, there's more things to play around with, you know? But like it's a give and take, you know, more people means more mess ups, more like this, more scheduling, more conflicts. But with more people, more dynamics, more changes, more levels, more camera angles we can do, you know, more maybe even more like places people can shine as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. I did a music video with Flash Mob, and we had 20 professional dancers, and we had about 20 to 40 just random people dancing. And it was cool just for the numbers of people to see. But like in hindsight, I'm like, I probably would have put more professional dancers in it and just had it been just super tight. But that's what made it kind of cool. It was just like, the everyday layman was in there doing some moves and they were very good about like picking out people that you wouldn't think would be dancing in a music video to put them in. So I was like, that's the part of it that I love. It's like dance should affect any and everybody, just like music and vice versa. So are you doing auditions with dancers, or are you kind of like, you know who you want in each music video?
No, I just know who I want. Like, I don't want to make it seem like, oh, you got to audition to be in my video. Maybe eventually if I have that much interest, but like right now it's just like, I trust you. I know you. I know how you dance. Like, just come in, you know. I feel like it's the best when you do it with friends, you know, people
right.
who you trust. So yeah, it's usually people I just hit up and they're just like, yeah, I'm down. And that's it.
Tell me like what obstacles or creative blocks you have sometimes with choreographing a dance routine, or just like maybe it's like certain moves that, like, I assume it's like music where you're working on moves, you're working on some kind of movement because you can put phrases together to make something. But are there things that you're constantly thinking of, like innovating or elevating as far as some kind of technique or move? Or is there something that you're constantly working towards? Like, is there something, a move of some sort that you're like always thinking about when you're kind of, you know, choreographing yeah. stuff? Tell me about any creative blocks or obstacles that you go through with any of that.
The biggest creative block is just like your body, honestly. Like, you're fighting against yourself, honestly. Like, I'm not the most flexible dancer, so there's certain things I can't do, but I'm like, oh, that'd be cool if I could do that. Yeah, if I could do a backflip, that'd be awesome, but I can't, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, so I just know my limitations as a dancer. So certain blocks like that, there might be some choreographic blocks in that sense. But I think the biggest choreographic block is finding something new, you know, within yourself. And that's the tough part, you know, is like, what is your voice and how do you want to say it?
Right.
You know, because like, you don't want to be another dancer or do moves everyone's been doing for so long. You want to find something that's unique, you know, and unique to the character that you build. And like, the thing is, like, let's say you build a character, you want to have the movement kind of emulate that. And if the move is just like, oh, that's like, there was the point of having that move there, you know, it doesn't like push the story forward, you know. So you got to have like, the moves have to be a little bit more purposeful. So sometimes I get into a block where I'm like, what move makes this character come to life?
You know, right. And
obviously there's an infinite amount of ways you can move your body. So with so much possibility, well, maybe some limitations because of your body, but I can still, putting your arm to the right up is a way different move than putting your arm to the right down. Maybe it's different feelings to it, right? So you have to kind of think about, you have so many options, but what makes sense? So, like, I'm very indecisive. So, like, my indecision kind of makes me be like, oh, that could have been better. That could have been better. And that just comes with a perfectionistic, like, oh, I hope people like it, you know, type of thing. Or else if I do this, I hope people won't like it. It's also the self-doubt, you know. So, you're kind of it's like a battle against yourself whenever you're choreographing. It's just like, hey, man, like, this is it. You know, this is just you. Like, if people have a negative opinion is just on them, you know. But just do you, because it's like part of the process, you know. So
I feel like the parallel for that for me is taking a guitar solo, because you have certain like staples that you want to, you're like, oh, I know I can hit this and it'll do something. But you're like, I always and maybe you're like this too, I'm always mining for something that is creative or new or some new frontier or something that kind of challenges me. But it's like, you have to have those footholds. It's like climbing a mountain. It's like, you have to have certain footholds where you know where you can go and you'll just be able to hit it, and then you can launch off to the next thing from that. But like, I can't imagine how it works with dance, because it's like, it is, you're coming up with something, but you're also trying to get those things that you know are going to kind of like be visually appealing or musically appealing or rhythmically appealing, but also innovative and new, because everybody wants the fresh new thing, or everybody wants to say something in a way that is creative and new, taking the familiar and making it unfamiliar in some way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, exactly. So do you find, is it like world cultures that kind of draw you towards like that innovation? Is it, do you draw from your own culture, from Indian dance or anything like that, to kind of get into that inspirational kind of, you know, movement?
Yeah, I think hip hop and a lot of dance right now is in a cool, it's in a cool place. I think it's a lot of fusion and all that kind of stuff. So I have been getting inspired by like some Bollywood dancing and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But there's, I know a lot of other dancers, Indian dancers, who are taking their classical training and putting it into hip hop or any other style they're doing, which is really, really cool. You know, I'm getting inspired by a lot of Bollywood because it's something new. Right. So right. I obviously live like in America. So obviously, well, I see hip hop 24/7, hip hop dances 24/7. I think there's a unique experience and unique voice you can say by doing hip-hop dance moves to Indian music. That's something that's right. interesting. So I'm very inspired by new music. Like Amapiano music is so big right now, you know, and yeah. African music is so cool, or French rap. Like there's like I'm actually really inspired by music, so I'm taking stuff from like things I'm interested in, you know. So I did some salsa and bachata, so even like Latin music, I've been like listening to that. I'm like, what new patterns, rhythms can we do? You know, what is the music? How is it different from hip hop? And what rhythm can you like hit on this that like, and what type of new movement? Cause like we've seen everything, you know, but it's just like yeah. the way things are connected and the way you express it, that's different. So
there's something about Bhangra that like always is, yeah. it's just intoxicating to hear rhythmically. And I feel like that would lend itself to dance. But I mean, now it's like always changing. Like there's so much stuff that's yeah. just, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of like using what's the song that won the Oscar? Is it Jai Ho? Is that
Not Too.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, like a song like that has so many unique characteristics. But like, when I think of like dance, I think of Michael Jackson. I think of like even NSYNC had some great choreography for the early 2000s. You know, for that time yeah. period. But I feel like it's hard to find something like that that's innovative and also inclusive using different cultures. I love that you're thinking that way. Let's play your next music video. This is Undecided. And is it who's it by? Is it who's the song by? Chris Brown. Okay, that's right. I didn't want to assume it because I didn't see it. All right. Tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind this video.
This was my first concept video ever. So this is actually a very special music video because like this video. It got a lot of attention from my peers and stuff. It was like, this is when I decided, like, and it's funny because, like, the song's called Undecided, but then I decide that I want to be a professional dancer because I was cool. undecided what I wanted to do. But now I'm like, oh, okay, I want to be a professional dancer because this was cool. I've always wanted to do a dance concept video, but I never got the opportunity to. So I quit my dance team for a month and I was like, hey, I want to shoot at the Staples Center because that's like my home ground. Like, I love the Staples Center. It's like, it's like so LA and it's like, it reminds me of like my dreams and my passion. So I want to do it there at LA Live right across the street. And we're going to do it right here at like 12 at midnight when everyone's there. So security won't kick us out. And yeah, man, this video got me to get into entertainment. So this is why I'm doing this thing with you right now because of this awesome. Video.
I love it. Here's Undecided, Chris Brown. This is Adar Satish. That's awesome, dude. Very cool. I want to ask you, like, you know, an Indian doing choreography and being a dancer is a very novel career. I mean, it's the same thing that I go through with music, especially rock music, like, especially playing blues. Like, I'm an Indian guy playing blues. It's just weird. But, you know, there's always a little bit of like, you know, like you're going to get from people until you kind of prove yourself. Do you feel like you've been welcomed in this community with open arms, or do you feel like there's a little bit of a struggle just to kind of like have either the dance culture embrace a new culture in their art form?
This is a controversial question.
I love it. That's why I asked it. That's why I asked it.
Because I talk about this like 24/7 with people. I was actually just having this conversation an hour ago. The Indian community is a very weird place. It is like, and I feel like just society. I don't even want to isolate this community, because I feel like this is just a testimony to society in general. Is that it be your own people, you know? That's right. Like the harshest people in your life, you know. There's two things, like in the hip hop, in the American dance industry, I made this analogy. It's like when I go to an audition room as a Indian person, an Indian dancer, they don't see me as a dancer. They see me as an Indian person. So that's the thing when I go to these audition rooms. But when I'm in the Indian dance community, they see me as like, oh, he's a dope dancer, which is cool. But obviously there's always things like little haste, jealousy, some type of like who's better than who, you know, who made it in the American industry, who's legit, who's not legit. And it's just weird. It's like a weird energy.
Yeah.
And in some areas I'm accepted, in some areas I'm not, you know. And it's just like I don't understand it at all, you know. And I feel like every Indian person can understand what I mean by this. It's like some people have your back and they really want you to win. And some people just know, you know. And it's always people who doing the same things as me. Like I'm also a filmmaker. I'm also a dancer. So a lot of my dance peers, I mean, they're cool with me, but not to the same sense. It's like they're cool with me to a degree, you know, only till here. But like my American friends who do like hip hop and all that stuff, they like what I do. They like see it as like, oh, that's cool. It's like that analogy, the grass is always greener. I'm Indian person right. doing hip hop, which is like, oh, I always see that. So like, you're just like us. So I don't care for you. You know, you're not special. But to like my American dance friends is like, oh, you do something different. That's cool. I appreciate what you do. It's cool. It's awesome. I love it. So when I do hip hop in the Indian community, is like, oh, that's cool. But like, I won't give you that respect, you know, fully. Right. It's the same thing, you know, the same thing over there. It's like, you do.
Until you do something really big. And then they'll be like, oh yeah, you become the face of Indian culture, you know. It's yeah, there's a little bit of that too.
I'm always, it's all about the culture, you know, like, I just talked to somebody and they said like, what's wrong with our society is that we idolize people and not the idea, right? Like, let's say like we were preaching to me, like, hey man, like treat everyone respect. And then I'm just like, Nikhil is like awesome. He's like the God. I'm like, no, you're not supposed to idolize someone. You're supposed to see the message, you know, that this guy, he is just a vessel of the message. What's the problem right now is that a lot of people are idolizing the person, you know? And that's what's happening right now. We're idolizing people who they themselves are flawed, you know? And just creating this elitist culture. And I think that's just like a very Hollywood mindset, which is like kind of I see it trickling into the South Asian communities. And it's just getting a little... It's getting a little gross, you know. So one of my things, and I will always advocate anybody who's in my vicinity. And I'm gonna do a little plug right now, but I have a production company called Bardo. And one thing for that is like I just want to create more community, more people for us to grow and like create stuff together. I don't feel like there's always there is, but it's just like it's not rooted in like. In selflessness, you know, there's no like heart into it, because the morals and like the habits aren't there. So I think even like when you're saying like my acceptance, I'm accepted, but like not to the degree I wish I was accepted to, you know, because I don't speak my language, you know, so I'm not sure that makes me less. You know?
Well, it's not only that. I'm sure this is the parallel between you and I. This is why we're gonna end up collaborating too. It's like I'm not playing Indian music, so like my culture has nothing to hold on to be like, that guy's doing our music, so we should get behind him. It's like, I'm doing funk, rock, blues. I'm actually doing a lot of African stuff. So it's like, and that's not because I don't love Indian music. It's just like, there are plenty of people doing Indian music that are great at it. And I'm like, that's not what I grew up listening to. I grew up listening to funk music, rock, blues, reggae. Like, that's the stuff that I love. And blues music has taken over me, you know, recently. But none of that is Indian culture based or makes sense for the Indian culture to get behind it. So I think you have that same parallel because you're not doing Indian classical dance. So it's like, you know, Indian culture is not going to necessarily embrace you because you're not promoting Indian culture to them. But it's like the best artists to me are the ones that promote their themselves in the culture by doing something that's not traditional. You know what I mean? And I think that's the only thing you can do is, you know, I don't know if you saw the Bob Marley movie, but he was mixed. He's half white, half Jamaican. And he wasn't totally accepted as a kid and throughout his life. And, you know, like nobody really wanted to give him the acceptance until he became such an iconic figure that now, I mean, he's the most like recognized. He's one of the like top five most recognized faces in the world, you know, and it's because he did those things that maybe his culture wouldn't have approved of, but they got behind him because eventually it spread to people beyond his culture. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's like, it's not the culture that we come from that is going to give us the popular vote. It's going to be the fact that other cultures accept us before, and then our culture gets behind it. So that's why I asked that question too. I was like, I'm wondering if you go through the same thing because you're doing hip hop and you're doing it well. And it's like, I can see why Indians, you know, or the Indian culture, especially the elders, may not get behind it because they don't understand it. It's not representing Indian culture. It's not Indian classical dance in the same way that, you know, the Indian culture is not behind what I'm doing in the sense of it's not Indian music. I'm not doing Indian classical music. I'm not doing anything that's promoting the culture, mostly because I didn't grow up with it in the house listening to, watching on MTV. That's not what was, you know, playing in my house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, man. And I feel like we're getting too much in our comfort zone. You know, even as like Desi people, you've seen India dances move. Let's do something else.
Yes.
There's people, let's show Indian dancing to other communities. There's people who like white people, black people, Latinos who have never seen this stuff, but we're too in our circle and our spaces that we never grow. And that was one thing about me when I went to hip hop is like, people want to learn new stuff. Like I went to a Jason Derulo edition, did some Bhangra, and everyone went crazy for it. You know, and now they're what is that? And that's what Indian people need to do. But it's too focused on, oh, let me just like try to make some buck off of other Indian people doing the same thing they've always learned. Like do this hook step from this movie. Okay, I want to learn that. I'm like, no, man. Like we got to move forward. We got to push. If we want to be represented in Hollywood and like, gain more opportunities and you want to see Indian people on TV and all that, you can't stay in your zone and be comfortable. It can't work that way, man. Like that's the only way dance and art improves is we spread. And like, of course it's uncomfortable going in these spaces, but that's how we grow, you know? Yep. Like that's how like rocks turn to diamonds through pressure, you know? Yep. So man, it's just what it is, man. We are like in our own island. You know, it's like, hey, and there's like on this island, you have a treasure chest and there's gold. It's like, hey, come over here. There's gold here. And like, nah, man, I'd rather be here where there's like just like some pennies and all that kind of stuff. It's comfortable. I'm cool with it. It's like, no, man, just come over here and like we can bask in this. But no one believes you until you're as big as like a Doja Cat. So like,
that's really honestly, it's there's a great Steve Martin quote. It's like, be so good they can't ignore you. It's like one of the things that is my mantra I think about all the time. It's like, as long as I keep working on my craft in the same way that you work on your craft, people will notice, the right people will notice, the culture will come around. Like maybe it won't come around, but you know, after our time, it will. You know what I mean? It's like artists are always ahead of the curve, so just don't forget that. Where can people find you if they want to find you online and want you to choreograph something? You also have some great TikTok videos and Instagram videos. Where can people find you if they want to find any of that stuff?
They can find me on Instagram. I'm very responsive on Instagram. It's Adarshable, spelled A-D-A-R-S-H-A-B-L-E. And you can follow my production company. It's called Bardo Productions. And my Instagram handle is Bardo.Prodo. And yeah, man, I'm always down to choreograph. My production company makes music videos. We just released our first one. We make content, music videos, commercials. We do the whole shablam. You know, I go to film school. I'm studying to become a director right now. So
I just saw that in your bio. I'm like, oh, he's doing another degree. That's awesome. Like a very good Indian, you're doing two degrees. Your first degree was in economics, which is crazy. And now you're doing some film and television. So I love that you've made that pivot. Tell me what made you want to do that pivot.
Man, I've always loved film because of Michael Jackson's Thriller. Like, I've always loved film. Like, and as I even, honestly, even like Bollywood films, because I always love storytelling. And this is why I was telling you, like, it's not about the dance, it's about the story behind it. Because I've always liked story. And the best place to do that was film school. And it's actually during the pandemic when my dad saw that I had no interest in marketing. And he was like, do something in film. You have more interest in it. You won't survive a 9-to-5. I was like, sure, that's what I want to do. That's awesome. Actually, I'd want to go back to LA because I was trying to figure out a way to go back to LA for the longest time,
right?
And like be a full time artist, but it's just saving up money, and during the pandemic, it's like impossible. So my dad gave me this, like, you know, I know what you're passionate about is entertainment, so be in that, but like get into production because that's where, you know, you'll thrive. You'll make more money that way too. And I was like, and you have like more creative freedom as well. And he's right. You know, my dad's 100% right. So, yeah, I want to have more creative freedom, which is every artist's dream. So like this production company, I think it is giving artists that creative liberty. And it gives me that, you know, it puts a little bit less pressure off of dance too, where I have to like, oh, I need to make it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, you're thinking like a visionary. That's what's good. It's like you're thinking about how to control the art on all sides of the coin. And that's where you start making even greater art. You know what I mean? Because of that. So don't stop, bro. We're going to have to collaborate on something soon and we'll talk about it. But thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. With, you know, the way this show works, we're going to follow you in about 10, 11 months and have you come back and promote some more stuff. Cause I know you got some more stuff coming down the chute. And yeah, man, you have an open window to come through and be a guest on Wake Up Hollywood whenever you have something to promote, man.
Heck yeah, man. Thank you so much for having me, man. This is awesome.
No worries. No worries. On behalf of Adarsh, Sam, and myself, we'll see you guys next week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Peace and love.
Listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.